Appreciate that. Mark chapter number 8, and I want to give you a thought this morning, on this Sunday morning, Mark chapter 8. Again, visitors, guests, thank you for being our guest today. As every Sunday, we're very fortunate, very blessed to have visitors, it seems, and folks that come, and we hope that you will find that church home that preaches Jesus. Amen. And preaches the truth. Mark chapter 8, we find in this gospel account in Mark chapter 8, where Jesus is doing several different miracles. He's feeding the 4,000. Now, let's not confuse that with the feeding of the 5,000, which would, I guess, be the more popular miracle. But he feeds 4,000 people. And then he refuses the Pharisees as a sign. He then deals with Peter. Peter does not understand Jesus going to the cross. And that's when Jesus, of course, rebukes Peter and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He knew where that was coming from. And Jesus had already set his face as a flint toward Calvary. And he's going to die on the cross. And so the Lord knew what was going to take place, and Peter did not quite understand all that was going to take place in our Savior's life. Well, then we come to the disciples in verse number 34 of Mark chapter 8. It's what I call the discipleship discourse. He is talking to his disciples, and here's what he said. He said, and he called, in verse 34, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, again, he's saying, if you're going to truly become a disciple, if you're going to truly follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to deny some things that you love, some things that you care about, some desires that you have, and you're going to have to take up your cross, and you're going to have to follow me. You got to follow me. Now, that's what we want. We want to make disciples. We want to see people that will be true followers of Jesus Christ. And that is a desire here at Bible Baptist Church. And it ought to be a desire of every church that preaches Christ, that we produce and make disciples. Those that would follow Christ, deny themselves, take up their cross, and say, you know what? It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what my family does. I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus. It's not a very easy thing. Matter of fact, it's a very difficult thing. There'll be trials, there'll be tribulations, there'll be crises that come along, and you're still going to have to deny yourself and carry that cross and be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 35, the Bible says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory of his Father with the holy angels." Let's pray once again. Heavenly Father, we have read the scripture where the power and the life is. Now pray, God, that we will not just hear the word but do it. I pray that, Lord, you will do a work that man cannot do today. I pray that no one leaves today here, Lord, struggling in the area of salvation or struggling in the area of discipleship. That we would deny ourselves. That we would not sell our soul in exchange for this world. I pray you'll help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just speak a little bit this morning out of Mark chapter 8. On the value of a soul. The value of a soul. See, our souls, which are made in the image of God, our souls are made in the image of God and will never cease to exist. Now, our body, our vessels, they will die. They will go away. Of course, our spirit goes with the Lord. And we know that when we die, or your soul can, of course, spend eternity in heaven. And our soul will spend eternity in hell. That's a choice that many make. And many are either rejecting Christ or they're accepting Christ. Which or the other, that's the choice that God has given us. But we know that our souls, which are made in the image of God, will never cease to exist. They will never cease to exist. So the fact that we are made in the image of God makes us uniquely distinct from the rest of God's creation. Now you think about it. God created the heavens and the earth. God created the universe and all the Milky Ways and all the different stars and the planets. And He created all these things that God did. And He spoke into existence. Read the book of Genesis. God stepped out on nothing and He spoke it through the Word. And He hung the moon and the stars and He hung all the things. The mountains are formations and the beauty that God's created. But guess what God chose to do? He chose to put a soul in man and woman. We are uniquely different than any other of God's creation. Uniquely different. So the Bible actually refers to our bodies as an earthly house. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse number 1, the Apostle Paul, he actually refers to our bodies as an earthen house or an earthen vessel. This is actually a house that we have. And of course, it possesses, if you're saved today, it possesses the Holy Spirit of God. He lives within us. We're very thankful for that. So Paul refers to this as an earthly house. Often we pamper the body, but we neglect the soul. So some will put more emphasis on the outward, the house, while the inside is rotten. I mean, many of you today, I would imagine, took a little time before you came to church to pamper the house, right? Now, by the looks of some might have spent more than others, right? Men, your wife, if you're married, your wife can have beautiful hair. You know, and she'll spend, or you can be on time, one or the other, right? You don't get to choose. If you're going to be on time, she either has beautiful hair or not. And most of the time, you're going to be late, right? And that's just the way it's going to happen. It's a choice you make, right? But we do spend a lot of time. Some of you exercise and try to eat right and all those things. Boy, you'll try to pamper the body. You try to do this. Hey, you'll go over here and get your feet done and get your nails done and get your hair done and get your makeup done. You do all these things. You're like, oh, yeah, the outside. But many of you have not given the attention to the inside. So we pamper the outside. We pamper the body. We pamper the house, if you will, but we neglect the soul. And Jesus taught that it's a bad bargain. Now listen to this. It's a bad bargain if we should try to exchange our soul for the world. Mark chapter 8, let's look at this verse again. Look with me in verse 35. The Bible says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We need to recognize this morning the value of a soul. The value of a soul. The first thing I come to is a fabulous treasure. See, your soul is a priceless treasure. And there's five things this morning that kind of gives me an idea that our souls are valuable. The first thing that I come to is creativity. We were created in the image of God. Every one of us created in the image of God. And there are some things that we need to realize. Our Creator is God. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. I'll just read it to you. You don't have to turn there. But one of the first chapters in our Bible clearly shows us that we are created by God. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." Who did that? God did. And he became a living what? Soul. He didn't say he became a living being or became a living human or became a living this. He became a living soul. So that soul became valuable because God created it. Amen. So we have creativity. Ephesians chapter 2, it speaks about that. That He quickened us. We have been made alive. By who? By God. And I thank the Lord for that. Here's the second reason I believe that we are valuable to God. First is creativity. Second is potentiality. potentiality. If you were to read over in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 29, He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of God. It's all about the will of God. It's about God's will. He predestinated us. God has predestinated His children to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is His will. There is potential in every person sitting in these pews today. Because of Him. Because of Him. Let me ask you this. Do you have any purpose to your life whatsoever right now? Any? What are you living for? Are you living for the world? You living for worldly things? Are you or you have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. All glory goes back to Jesus Christ. Here's the third thing I find. It's creativity, it's potentiality, it's durability. The reason our soul is valuable, and I'm getting somewhere, so hang on. The reason our soul is valuable is not only was it created by God, not only do we have potential because we are conformed to be the image of Christ's Son, but thirdly, our souls will exist for eternity. That's it. Durability, it will never die. The soul, either it will spend eternity in heaven or it will be in hellfire. That's a choice. And listen, that is a message that you don't often hear in a church today. I don't care what denomination, I don't care what flavor. The mention of eternity in hell does not exist today behind the American pulpit. But it is in our Bible. Matter of fact, Christ mentions hell way more than He did heaven. Warning people, if the choice is yours. I do not for the life of me understand. Now listen. I do not for the life of me understand why someone would leave a gospel preaching church without Christ. I cannot put my mind around it. You say, well, preacher, you know, now's not the time. Well, then pray tell me when is a good time. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Why in the world would you keep putting off something so great as salvation? Durability. You realize that there is a hell to lose and a heaven to gain. You say, preacher, why do you believe that? Well, I believe the Bible, don't you? Amen. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 that many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? Have we done not many wondrous works in Thy name? Have we not cast out devils in Thy name? And here's what He'll say. Depart from me. Depart from me. Pastor, do you believe people that will actually spend eternity in hell from the Baptist church? You better believe it. Oh my goodness. There'll be deacons that literally sit on deacons' board. There'll be pastors that preached and preachers that preach. And they'll be, hey, I've never cast out a devil, but apparently there'll be people that even cast devils out of people that will be going to hell. Why? Because they've never placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Simple salvation. Here's the fourth reason why I believe that our soul is very valuable, is its rarity. The soul's rarity. See, our souls are absolutely unique and rare. Let me just put it down on your level. Look at me. Every one of you, there'll never be another one made. You are a unique model. You are exactly who God... You say, man, a lot. Some people today are trying to be like other people, and they're trying to, well, I like this person. I'm going to try to look like them, or I'm going to try to act like them, or I'm going to try to dress like them. But you understand God made you to be you? Listen, that's who He made you to be. The skin that you've got on, the outer layer of your epidermis. Hey, guess what? God gave you that. That is what you are. That's the color you are. That's what God wanted you to be. Hair or no hair. Hey, it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. That's exactly what God wanted you to be. And you are unique. You are special. You are rare. Hey, I love the fact you say, preacher, why is our soul so valuable? It's because of its rarity. It is so unique. There will never be another you. Thank the good Lord. Amen. There, you're like, oh boy, this world could not stand. I know, I'm with you, but can I tell you, there'll never be another you. Never. God specifically and uniquely made you and I at rare, and He loves us, by the way. Here's the last thing, is desirability. Why is our soul so special and so valuable? It's because of desirability. See, here's what I believe. What something is worth is determined by what someone will pay for it. Don't you agree? So what is something special to you and valuable to you may not be very valuable to me. And it may be vice versa. I may look at something and say, wow, man, how much you want for that? Boy, I'd like to have that. Good grief, I'd pay whatever. Hey, just name your price. And you'd look at it and say, that's the biggest pile of junk I've ever seen in my life. But I like it. It's valuable to me. It means something to me. And I'll pay you whatever you name. That's, I'll do whatever I can to get what you have because it means something to me. So the value of something is determined by what someone will pay for. You've heard that before. Well, then I want you to take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Peter. I want you to see a verse that was a blessing to my heart when I read this. And I thought to myself, well, that actually describes those verses to a T. 1 Peter, and I want us to turn over to, I believe it is chapter number 1. And look with me in verse number 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. The Bible says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." Amen. With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Guess what we were redeemed with? Not with what man would pay, silver and gold. We were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, He redeemed us on the cross of Calvary. And you say, "Preacher, how much does Jesus value my soul?" He stretched His arms out. And He says, "I love Him this much." And He laid His hands out and let Him drive spikes in His hands and spikes in His feet. And He went to Calvary as a sinless, perfect Lamb of God. And He says, "I love that crowd." That you say, "Preacher, what crowd does He love?" He loves the crowd that maybe lives morally clean and good citizens. But He also loves them convicts and those that would break the law and those that have committed heinous crimes. You say, "Preacher, does He love the world?" Oh, you better believe He loves the world. And He loves you. He paid the ransom. He paid the price. Jesus gave His life upon a bloody Calvary for your soul and for my soul. See, I don't understand it. Neither do you. We say we do, but it's hard to comprehend the love of God. It's hard to comprehend such love. I don't understand it. You know, we read John 3:16, the most familiar verse in all the Scripture. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." We read that and we think, how much did our Savior love us? He loved us enough to send His only begotten Son. I've got an only son. You think I'd let my son die for the sin of another person? You think I'd let my son die for the world? All these people out here, they don't care about my son. Not like I do. They don't care about them. Matter of fact, look to society and see how they think about children right now. They don't care about life. Most of the world don't care about my son. You think I would let my son die for the sins of the world? You better start thinking, because that's not true. That certainly wouldn't happen. I love my son too much. But guess what? God, He loved His son. But He loved the world. And the only way the world could ever be saved from hell is to send the perfect Lamb of God. He didn't search through heaven looking, saying, "Wonder who I can send." No, the only one that was qualified was the Lord Jesus. And He sent Jesus, the only begotten, born of a virgin, there in Bethlehem, lived 33 years and grew sinless in His perfection and His love. Hey, listen, God in the flesh, the Son of Man, went to Calvary and died on the cross. And 3 days later, up from the grave He arose. You say, "Preacher, why did He do that?" He did that for you and I. He loves our soul. It is valuable. Well, here's the deal. I think we've explained this morning the value of a soul. If you leave here today and you say, "Preacher, I don't feel like I'm worth anything. I don't feel like anybody loves me. I don't feel like anybody cares for me. I feel like I'm valueless. I feel like I have no value whatsoever." Can I tell you, there's one person in the world that loves you enough to die for you. And His name is Jesus. He loves you. Here's the third thing I want to present to you. It's a foolish transaction, because that's exactly what our Savior is saying in Mark chapter 8, a foolish transaction. To believe that you could exchange your soul for what the world has to offer. You say, what do you mean? Well, look with me in verse 36. He asks these two questions. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So it's a bad, it's a foolish bargain to try to exchange our souls for the world. You say, well, why is that? Well, there's three reasons why I believe it's a bad bargain. Number one, nobody gains the whole world. Nobody. You can try and try and try and try and try and try and try, and you will never gain the whole world. It's a terrible bargain. Promise them the world, usually it brings nothing. So you'll never actually gain the whole world. Number two, the part of the world you gain, you can't keep. Well, I see this house over here. Look at what I've got. Look at all the possessions that I have. Look at the nice cars that I've got in the driveway. Look at the nice material possessions that I have and the nice clothes and merchandise that I've got. Look at all the fame that I've got. Look at all the friends that I've got. How much can I take it with me? You can't take any of it with you. You only possess it temporarily. But you can't keep it. How disappointing is that? How would you like to go to the store and something you've been looking to purchase or looking to get, and you, oh yeah, well, you can get this, but you can only keep it for a couple weeks. Who wants to do that? I don't want to do that. If I want to do that, I'd rent it. That ain't what this verse is talking about. Gain the whole world. Nobody wants to rent that. Nobody wants to just have it for temporary, but guess what? The world will promise you things and not fulfill. So here's the third thing. Nobody gains the world. Nobody, the part of the world that you do gain, you can't keep. And the third thing is this. The world will never satisfy. Never satisfy. People spend their entire life working for something, and as soon as they attain it, they look and say, man, I thought I'd be a little bit more happy. The most miserable people you'll ever meet in your life are people that have things. Some of the happiest people I know don't have a whole lot of material possessions. I'm not saying that if you work and you have a nice home, you got nice cars and nice things, that you're miserable. That's not what I'm saying. But a lot of times, if your satisfaction is found in things, and that's where your satisfaction is based on, you're working toward things and laying up earthly treasures, my friend, you will be so disappointed. So disappointed. The house, as soon as you move into it, oh, it could be grand and beautiful, but all of a sudden, where'd this leak come from? Honey, we already got a light or two out, and the ceilings are 27 feet tall. How are we going to change them out? Well, that's aggravating. We got a water problem. We got this problem. I thought this is a brand new house, and we've got problems. Why? Because it just never satisfies. Well, we need a bigger house. Huh? When you first moved in that house, you thought, man, this is nice, man. Then all of a sudden, you're like, man, I just feel like we're on top of each other in here. I got to get a bigger house because somebody else got a bigger house. Or I got a better car because somebody else got to get a better car. I've got to have nicer things. Boy, did you see that guy's shoes, man? He's got nice shoes. I got to get me some of them. I've got to get this. I've got to get that. Hey, before you know it, you're just never satisfied. But guess what satisfies eternally? Jesus. Why is the world? You know what the problem with the world is today? It's not so much politicians, even though this is a byproduct. The number one problem in our nation today is greed. Greed. The almighty dollar is our God. We'll vote for whoever gives us the most money, right? Oh, you're promising to do this and do that? Hey, as long as it benefits me, I don't care what you do to the unborn. I don't care what you do. I know it's friend day and I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be. But you understand, we have let greed and we have let temporal things dictate our life, our churches, our nation, our homes are in a mess because we're living for temporary satisfaction. where lasting satisfaction is in only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, are you content this morning? The Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. Are you content this morning with what you got? Or are you just keep looking to just climb the ladder? More things, more things, more things. Folks, can I tell you, your soul is valuable to God. You're worth sending His precious Son, Jesus, to die. How much more valuable could someone be? How much more valuable could one be than Jesus Christ laying down His life to die? To lose your soul would be a tragic loss. You say, why? Well, it's an irreversible loss. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. I want to show you a verse. I want you to see it. Hebrews chapter number 9. And I want you to look with me. I think it's down in verse number 27, I believe it is. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. I want you to see it. Hebrews 9 and verse number 27. The Bible says this, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." That verse, when I read it, church, I do not see any room for a reset. I don't see any room in here that we do a redo. I don't see any room in this verse where we can reverse death. Once you have wasted your life, you have officially wasted it. You don't get to go, I come back. You're not coming back. Well, I'm going to live the rest of my life this. I'm older. Well, I hope you do. But you understand, the life that you have wasted, you now cannot get back. It's irreversible. Hey, secondly, it's immeasurable loss. There's no way that we can measure the loss of one selling their soul for the world. It's immeasurable. It's irreplaceable. It's inexcusable. Can I just say this morning? You don't have to lose your soul. You don't have to leave this morning with your soul hanging in limbo or just in between or hanging out. Hey, folks, you can get that settled today. Today is a good day for you to get that settled. You don't have to lose your soul. So here's the last thing. It's the fatal tragedy is this. Many of us are engaged in bargaining away our souls for pieces of the world. Pieces of the world, and we're not even gaining the pleasures of the world. You say, what do you mean by that? Many of us will even never, you get just a little dab, not even the whole full thing. You'll get just a little piece of what the world has to offer, but it's just enough to hook you. There'll be someone sitting here saying, well, preacher, I would give my soul to Christ. I would give my heart to Christ, but it's this that's holding me back, or it's this. And as soon as I straighten that up, hey, folks, listen. You're doing it backwards. You don't do this and fix this and do this in order to get Christ. No, you get Christ, and guess who fixes it? Oh, yeah, well, I'm trying to straighten up. I'm trying to get rid of my drinking and my drugs. I'm trying to get rid of my partying. I'm trying to get rid of my lying. I'm trying to get rid of this. Hey, folks, hold on. Man can't fix that. You can go to every 12-step. You can go to every step and every jog and every walk and every NA and RA and NRA and this and that. You can go to every one of them. But my friend, the only one that can fix the problem of sin is Jesus Christ. That's it. The problem is the heart, and we have been going for pieces of the world, trying to find pleasure in the world when only, listen, there's only satisfaction in one, and that's Jesus. They're turning to everything. Boy, they'll just do this and do that. Man, I'm telling you, if God leaves us on this earth, you're going to hear things and see things that you have never dreamed, you've never thought that you would ever imagine that people would get into. You say, preacher, why is that? Because we are sinful. We are wicked. Our heart is deceitful and above all desperately wicked. Who can know? We don't even know how wicked we are. But my friend, when we start dabbling in the pieces of the world and start looking for the pleasures of the world, my friend, that is a dangerous, dangerous place to be. And all of us could be there if it were not for God's grace. So the fatal tragedy is this. Many of us are just, they're just dabbling in the pieces of the world and you still not even gaining the pleasures of the world. Can I just say this before the very end of the message? I mean the very end. I am actually living the best life right now. Some of you are like, preacher, what do you mean by that? Now I'm talking about I've never been more happy than I am today. I'm in the will of God. I'm in the will of God, and God has been so good, so gracious, and so merciful to me. I'm so undeserving, but you understand, I'm not looking for the bigger and the better. I'm not looking for the more happiness and more satisfaction. I'm not looking in those places because you'll find the wrong answers. Not looking for a bigger church or not looking for a better church or not looking for a larger ministry. Hey, I am in God's perfect will. And listen, there is nothing more satisfying. The reason why so many get caught up in adultery is because they think that that girl's better than the one they got. Amen. When you find out their feet stink too. You find out they've got a temper too, and you think, and they find out that they spend more money than the other one had, and you find out that they can't manage this and don't work, don't get up on time, and you start getting frustrated. Well, I had it better when you should have thought about that. Same thing goes for the men. You say, I don't like that. Well, it's good philosophy. I know that. You ought to be happy with the one God gave you. Hey, you ever got something and you had something better before? You ever said, man, I wanted this. And as soon as you get it, you're like, I done fouled up. Oh, yeah. Fouled up is a southern vernacular for you done messed up royally. Done fouled up. Done fouled up. I remember when I was a kid, my dad went to the Chevrolet dealership. I was just a little boy. My dad had a 68 Camaro Rally Sport. He had three of them at one time. He had a Chevelle. Boy, he had these hot rods. Man, 397, 327s, I believe it's 396s. And had one old truck with a 454 in it. Boy, them things were just classics. He loved muscle cars. And then, of course, God called him to preach. He had to sell all of them. Amen. He denied himself and took up his cross and followed him. But he did go down to the Chevrolet dealership and he bought a brand new 1980, some model 80. It wasn't brand new. It was slightly used. But it was a solid white old Malibu. A solid white Malibu from the Chevrolet. Pretty car. He said, I'm going to get this Malibu. And it had nice wheels on it and from the dealership, factory wheels. And boy, it looked good. And he said he got in that car and pulled out from the dealership, went down the road. He said, literally, before I got home, I had to call somebody to come get me. He said, I'd done signed on the dotted line. It was my car. It was a used car I bought. He said the thing had an overheating problem, had a problem after problem after problem. He said, I got rid of a car. I thought that this car would be a little bit more pastoral, a little bit better, a little easier maybe on gas, a little bit roomier inside for my family. He said, but little did I know that I was getting something that I did not want. How often do we do that in life? Thinking that we want something that's a little better, something a little bigger, something a little shinier, something a little newer. The world always has shinier things, right? Surrender your soul to Jesus this morning. That's exactly what our Lord is saying to these disciples, these men. He said, hey, deny yourself. Die to yourself. Die to your desires. Die to your will. Die to your things. Die to whatever it is and take up your cross and follow me. Follow me. Hey, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a pleasant life at times. There'll be satisfaction. There'll be fulfillment, but it won't always be easy. But my friend, it's the blessed life. Many never come to this place. They're so busy living for the pieces of the world. So busy just trying to get by and get something just a little better. And here's what happens. The tragedy of it all is this. Many die without Christ. They die without Christ. I've often looked at this verse, verse 36 of Mark, and I've often said, I've inserted a word there, or inserted for just for myself, I guess you could say. For what shall it profit a man if he gained the whole, let's just say a large ministry? What would it profit a man to gain a large ministry but lose his own family? What would it gain? What would it profit a man if he were to gain a large salary and move somewhere to lose his family? Lose his church family? Oh yeah, the money was a lot better, but it wasn't the will of God. Are you willing to risk your family and risk them being in a church setting, in a church where a preacher will get up and preach truth in love, preach Christ? Are you willing to risk that for a pay raise? Oh, I'm all about you getting raises. I'm all about you having a better life, if you will, and a more financially stable and secure life. There's nothing wrong with that. It's great. It's wonderful. But can I tell you, I've known people time after time after time sell out for a couple dollars or maybe a couple hundred dollars and say, hey, we're moving. Well, where are you going to go to church? Well, haven't really thought about that yet. Come on. Really? Now, some don't understand that. And the reason why many people never understand that is they've never been truly born again. You've never been born again. Well, that man up there, he's crazy. Man, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. The reason it's foolishness to you, you're blind. If I never see you on this side of eternity, I want you this to stick in your brain. That if you walk out them back doors without Jesus Christ, there will be regrets. You'll regret it. You will regret it. You say, well, it may be years down the road. Yeah, you may not think about it. I hope you do. But you may not think about it anymore. But let me just say that there will be regrets that you went on and said, you know what? I want little pieces of this world, and I'm willing to exchange my soul so I can live for the world. Let me read that verse one more time in verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let's close our eyes and bow our heads.